CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Judy Dempsey of Carnegie Europe. She is the editor of Strategic Europe, and Judy routinely asks her correspondents across the European plain, from ministers of government to members of government, of think tanks, to academics, to people at Carnegie, their thoughts about a particular question. And this question this week is revelatory of the confrontation in Europe. Very bluntly, can Putin be stopped? Judy, I go immediately to the remarks that you have from Linas Linkevicius, the defense minister of Lithuania. That man is completely on the front lines, totally, and his country is aware of their vulnerability. His opinion is he cannot be stopped unless everyone sticks together, stays together, something we've covered now. But the Baltics are in no way troubling about other parts of their government. They are knitted together with Europe. Are the Baltics inspirational in some fashion to the rest of Europe? Because they stand to lose everything if this goes badly.
Well, Linas Linkevicius, who an extremely experienced former defense and foreign minister of Lithuania, is spot on in this. The problem is that the old Europeans, the founder member states, Italy, France, Germany, the Netherlands, Belgium, France, they sort of have a condescending attitude towards the Baltic states. But the Baltic states come from a different era of occupation, of a different narrative. And what they say is very, very important because they're trying to actually strengthen the backbone of the Western Europeans. And I think this is very important. I think the Baltic states have played a very important role in spelling out what is at stake. We told you so. Now the chicken has come home to roost. What are we going to do about it?
Your correspondent, Francois Heisberg, mm-hmm. has an interesting observation about what we're witnessing now. Hundreds of thousands of young people leaving Russia to Finland, to Armenia, to Kazakhstan, hundreds of thousands in Kazakhstan. And Francois points to how this has not been determinative in other instances, the American students or young people leaving America during the Vietnam War. There are other instances. However, Judy, it is also an historical fact that 1905 and the defeat in the Russo-Japanese War of the Tsar led to disruption that was a rehearsal for the revolution. 1917, 1918, the war when it went badly and the Tsar stepped aside and the Russians tried a political military government. That led to a revolution and destruction of the old order. And 1968, when Prague was invaded, that led to disruption and dissent in the Soviet Union. So is your measure that this dissent, these young people, it's a brain drain profoundly, but does it influence the rest of the Russian people to understand that things are out of control in Moscow?
You kind of described that things are out of control in Moscow. Also, we don't know. And we have to be very wise to say what we don't know. What we do know is that the atmosphere has changed. The fact that so many young men want to leave Russia because of this conscription into the army against Ukraine does really show a kind of a certain opposition. And the fact that Ukraine is making inroads into parts of eastern Ukraine shows that the Russian military isn't up to it. These are very difficult questions to answer because we have the social media, we have the globalization, we do have access to the media despite efforts by Putin to clamp down on this. The Russians do know what's going on if they really want to find out. And now more and more people are being touched by this war. This will have a huge impact.
Mr. Andrei Kolesnikov, senior fellow at the Carnegie, has an interesting thought that Putin has violated the contract between the Russian people and the Kremlin. The contract, as I understand it, is the Kremlin will conduct its foreign adventures for its own plunder as long as you leave us alone and we don't have to participate. Is that something new, Judy, to your understanding that that contract has been broken? Or has it been broken before? Was it broken in 2014 and nothing happened?
Well, was it broken before when Putin, with the rigged election, was re-elected president? The contract was fragile then, but then there wasn't a coherent opposition. I think this was 2012 or 2013. But this is something different. This is about war. This is about peace. This is about being drafted. And the contract was based on stability and security and peace. And this is no longer the elements in that contract. The contract is certainly has been broken. It's not being articulated in a political sense. It's been articulated in a physical sense that people are leaving. But it's going to demand a kind of new opposition to put this into a kind of political structure. It isn't there yet, but there's so many unknowns now inside the Kremlin and the defense ministry and the security apparatus and among the oligarchs. It's so difficult to make any predictions on what will become of this new contract or the old one.
Alina Kutsko, director of Globsec Policy Institute at Bratislava, says that it's a pipe dream to think that Putin will be normal. This suggests, of course, that there are those still hoping for that. We mentioned before that there are parts of Germany that blame others besides Vladimir Putin. Is there an understanding in Germany that the old Putin is gone, that there'll be no normalizing after this conflict, that he must leave?
No, there isn't a consensus here in Germany among the political elites. And it's interesting you bring up this very issue, and it's a typical German reaction. Oh, well, if Putin leaves, worse will come after him. It was a bit like Gorbachev. If Gorbachev leaves, something worse will come. If Yeltsin leaves, something worse will come. And so there's a mentality here, better the devil we know than the new one that comes. The German elites don't think about the day after. They think about the status quo. But even then, they don't deal with the status quo in any coherent way, particularly strategic. This is the biggest fault about the German view and indeed the EU view, that they don't think about the day after.
Judy Dempsey, Strategic Europe at the Carnegie Endowment in Berlin. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.